Why God waits to answer our prayers. Do you know that in adversity, he teaches us about the depths of his love? That's where he teaches us his love. Isaiah chapter 29. The prophet had stood tearfully before God's people in Jerusalem, and he had delivered this fearful message. He said, in essence, that a great humbling, a test of faith, had loomed before them. They all would wake up one day and look out over the city walls and behold a vicious enemy would be surrounding them, which was the Assyrian army. If you ever did any studies on the Assyrians, they were ruthless. They were nasty. The city of God would be besieged. They would put mounds of dirt and keep putting mounds of dirt until they could breach the walls. I actually did that at Masada. I was thinking about that. I asked Pews what his favorite place in Israel was. We'll be going there in about a week. I'm looking forward to it. Traveling to Israel in about a week, the 10th of February, we'll leave from Washington, D.C. and travel to Israel, be able to walk where Jesus walked. Be able to look into the tomb like many have and see that it's empty. I'm looking forward to that. I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to go to Israel and walk where Jesus walked. My sister said, when they say in the scripture, going down to Jericho, you be ready because it's down. When you get on that bus, it's down. And you'll be praying this bus has brakes, she said. Because when they say going down to Jericho, they mean it. It's down. All right, so much for that. That was just a little advertisement. I'm sorry, Lord. I'll get on to work. They would be brought, God's people would be brought to a place of moaning. They'd wonder if it would ever end. Isaiah said the trial would become so heavy that God's people would be utterly broken by the battle. They'd be left with no physical strength except to a whisper. Remember us reading that? You'll be brought down. You shall speak like out of the ground, like a medium. Your speech will be low out of the dust. Your voice will be like a medium. Your speech shall whisper. That's how weak, that's how bad the battle will be. It describes what I believe the New Testament says about many Christians will be facing in our time. Timothy said, in perilous times. I can't think of a more time like our present, that there's so many Christians, and not just us around here. It's worldwide. This is worldwide. This pandemic is worldwide. It's affected Christians all over the world, and they're being incredibly tested. God's allowing his children to be tried by fire. Many are going through the test of their lives. I believe that. This difficult prophecy included that God would miraculously and faithfully deliver his people. And, as always, always right on time. God's always right on time. I've said lots of times that my timing's terrible, but God's timing's always perfect. So many times throughout the day and throughout the week, sometimes I just see how bad my timing is. It really is not good. But God's timing, just love God's timing. His timing is so perfect. The prophet had ended his prophecy by giving these people some great promises of victory and deliverance. Yes, there was proclamations of woe and some terrible things, but I can tell you along with that was the proclamations of promise. Picking up chapter 5, it said, moreover, the multitude of your foes shall be like fine dust, multitude of the terrible ones like chaff that passes away. Yes, it'll be an instant and it'll be suddenly. This was a very forceful vision that God had. He intervened for his people and he used the prophet. When you think it's hopeless and you can't go another step, the Lord will come like a raging storm. He'll surprise your enemies. He will visit their camp and he will dissolve their plans. God is going to lift you out of the pit of despair and bring you into his full blessing. What these promises that God gave to Israel, by the way, are also for us today. Like those of Jerusalem, we also have been warned of fiery trials. We've also been warned of an enemy who will wage war against us. We'll be persecuted and slandered and face hardship and suffering for the sake of our Lord. True worshipers will suffer more than anyone else. The closer you walk to Jesus, the more you hunger for him, the more you'll be tried and tempted. Satan is determined to ruin all that is holy and righteous. And he has unleashed a huge attack to smear and discourage and hurt all who represent the pure light of Christ. And I see that happening more and more and more severely every day. The persecution of Christians is going to get more severe as the time of the rapture develops. And we're living that time. I believe we're in that time now. The persecution will become much more severe. Many Christians, the trial seems to be endless. Some have even said, when will it ever stop? I've wondered why this message of the Lord laid on my heart. Obviously, there's somebody going through a tough trial. Obviously, there's somebody that's had a prayer that's not been answered. Obviously, somebody has told the Lord, why have you not answered my prayer? Why have you not answered yet? And so I tried to be obedient to the Lord on this message. Don't think that your trial is unusual. The Apostle Peter writes this, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 3. Jesus told of a parable in which a persistent woman cried night and day for justice. And finally, the judge avenged her for that simple reason that she bothered him persistently. Remember, I told you, whatever the situation might be that you're seeking the Lord for, whatever reason that you come Sunday after Sunday to be anointed, be persistent. Be persistent. Don't want something that God doesn't want to give you. Don't be that persistent. But be persistent enough to let God know that this is important to you. It's important to you. Be that kind of persistent. Show the Lord it's important to you. This lady was persistent. Jesus had used this to show us what he will do for us if we trust him. And listen to what he had to say. "And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Jesus is assuring that we are to make sure that you understand the Lord will fight your battles. He'll do it all for you, but you need to hold fast to your faith. Hold fast. Jesus himself was the very fulfillment of the promises that was given to the prophets. They foresaw a day when a deliverer, the Messiah, would come down from glory to save his people from enemy. He spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That's found in Luke chapter 1, verses 70 through 75. No matter who it is that comes against you, I will deliver you from every one of them, and so you can live all your days in peace and in rest in me. Many Christians want to see God's work immediately, and they want it to happen on their schedule. Oy boy, does that ever hit me? I told you some time ago, I shared it in another message, that I was anxious to try to get rid of my house. I wanted to get rid of the house in town. I wanted to do it on my time schedule, my timetable. I sort of got indignant with the Lord and said, why can't I get rid of this thing? I can tell you why. Because God's plans are always better than yours. Are you listening to me? His plans are better than your plans. Now, I didn't realize at the time that my mother-in-law would need a place to live. And by the way, she said she just loved it there. You see, God was preparing a place for my mother-in-law at the time. I had no clue. I didn't have a clue. You see? I didn't know that she would need a place to live, but God knew that. He knew that, and he was making place for her. And I'm glad he ignored my threats. I'm glad he ignored me completely. I wasn't a happy camper, but I was after I found out what he had, what he was involved with. See, this is what happens when we don't have the patience to what? To what? What's the word? Wait. I didn't get there yet. I got ahead of my message. But that's coming up. That's in a verse I want you to underline, because I had to underline. Wait, I'm not good at that. God's given us the Holy Spirit as a comforter and teacher and a guide. He's given us some great and precious promises whereby we're made partakers of his divine nature. I believe the most difficult thing for a child of God to do is nothing. Would you agree with that? To do nothing. It's extremely hard to stand still and what? Say it again. Wait. To stand still and wait on the Lord to act while we sit by and watch as things get worse. We sit by and see our enemies go unjudged and not retaliate. It takes everything within us to quiet the urge to do something. When he wants you to what? Wait. Isaiah told the people, therefore the Lord will wait. Where am I getting that? Put it up on there for me. Chapter 30 and verse 18. Thank you, Dale. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. And this is a part that you need to underline. I already beat you to it. Blessed are all those who what? There it is. Who wait for him. You need to underline that. Blessed are you. If you've got the patience to wait it through, you need to be patient and wait. You know, that verse says it all. It's impossible to exalt God fully before humankind, because humankind likes to look in their own efforts and try to do their own efforts. Forget about the Lord's desires, and we try to work out our own things. What God is saying is, so you think you don't need me right now because you're so busy. You're so busy doing everything yourself. But I have a plan to show my grace to you. But right now I'm testing you to see if you'll turn and rest in me. I'll wait until you have exhausted all of your human efforts and self-reliance. Is God waiting on you to exhaust all your efforts? When he does that, then you know it's time for him to work. Move aside and let him work. So I ask you today, I'm soon closing, to whom do you unburden your soul? Who gets an earful of all of your troubles? God says that I will wait for you to return to me. I'll wait until you understand and believe that I will be gracious to you. Cry out to me and I will keep my word. In the scriptures, the psalmist said this, you shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry when he hears it. He will answer you, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 19. What a wonderful promise. And so the Lord adds more. Even though we may be in adversity, we will be lovingly taught by him. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affection, I'm reading now Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 and 21. Even though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, it is the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit that's directing you. The Spirit of Jesus will guide us. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, I must go, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. The Comforter, he said, would do what? Would lead and guide you into all truth. And we will know why we've been tested. There'll be no more darkness or deception. He'll provide us with very clear guidance. God's plan for you is to be blessed and to prosper. He is going to scatter all your enemies, and by his hand, you will enjoy the bread of increase. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your precious word. Now we pray, Lord, that your word will accomplish that which you desire and want in the life of each and every one that's here. In Jesus' name we pray.